Don't stop. Keep it locked. Keep it we locked. Global, baby. BashaniRadio.com. You better ask somebody. Kaboom.
That is so awesome.
Brooklyn, Queens, the Bronx, Staten, and Manhattan. You are listening to BashaniRadio.com. New York City, always talking about everything. Everything.
It's never been easier to start your very own radio show on Bashani Radio. Your Bashani Radio show will give you up to an hour show per week with access to over 500,000 monthly listeners. Plus, streamed to millions more on iHeartRadio, iTunes, Spotify, Google Play, and TuneIn Radio. Run your own advertisements and keep 100% of the revenue. Sign up now on BashaniRadio.com and let us set everything up for you with no setup fees. BashaniRadio.com.
Welcome back to Relationships 3D, folks. I'm your man, Dr. Vernet A. Joseph, with my good friend, Dr. Tersha Hamilton, right here on Bashani and worldwide, folks. Dr. T, what's going on, my friend?
It's all good in the hood. How you doing, man? How you doing?
Every day, all day. I cannot complain. I cannot complain. Listen, I want to talk about something today that I think is really going to help the listening audience when it comes to these relationships. Sometimes people get involved and they get old and stale, right? They don't do anything that spices up the relationship or enhances the relationship. If I really had to put a title on this one, it would be how to bond with your partner. How about that? Let's go with that. How to bond with your partner. Have you ever found yourself in a relationship to where you're like, where are we going? What is going on? This is getting old. I am just tired. This is not making any sense. There's no excitement. There's no fun. I can tell you exactly what we're going to do, when we're going to do it, how we're going to do it. And I can tell you pretty much when it's all going to be over. So, the question of the day is, do you know how to properly bond with your partner? Now, many of you who may be listening may be like, whoa, that's a little extreme. But truth be told, if we put the magnifying glass or the mirror to our relationship, we would probably have to say at some point in time that we could have reached what we would call a plateau. Right? So what we want to help you do today is actually find innovative ways where you can bond with your partner. Now, I must say, knowing someone for a long time gives you an advantage because you kind of learn their quirks, you kind of learn their wants, their knots, and, all of these different things. But at the same time, being with someone for an extremely long time can actually set in what I call paralysis analysis. What does that actually mean? You get stagnant, you get stale because, you just think that this is the way that it should be. So when you start dating someone, and for those of you who may be married or who have been in relationships a long time, I don't care what people tell you, you must continuously date your partner. Because what it took to actually get your partner is what it's going to take to keep your partner. So you always, just as our book says, you've got to learn how to keep it hot and spicy. All right. So when you first start dating someone, you pretty much try to spend a lot of time with them. Is that not right, Dr. T?
Oh, yeah. Oh, yeah. As much time as you can. As much time as you can, because you want to soak them up. You want to, you want to be all involved. You want to figure out all their nooks and crannies. You want to get in the crevices and learn what they like and what they don't, and how to please them and how to make them smile. And yes, so yes, the short answer is yes.
But you hit some very pivotal points. Time is the one thing that we can't get back. So how you choose to invest that time will show whether or not you have good fruits of your labor. No one wants to go to the grocery store and spend 3 hours at a grocery store, but don't come out with enough ingredients to make a meal, right? Mm-hmm. No one wants to take a trip to the bank and see everybody else taking out money, but not be able to take out money, right? So when you're looking at your relationships, this is something that you got to start doing. You got to, one, invest time with one another so that you can get to know one another. You want to make sure that you talk. I can't understand when you have two people who have been together, but they don't communicate. Talking is one of the most wonderful things that we get to do here on this planet. Why? Because I get to learn what you are thinking, right? And by me knowing what you are thinking, I can either do one of two things. I can come alongside your thinking, or I can challenge your thinking. Now, this is where stuff starts to get tricky, because if you're always challenging, now you're nitpicking, right? If you're always coming alongside the thinking, now you're a pushover, because wait a minute, you can't agree with everything that I say. So we have to strike what we would call that natural harmony. You know, this is the one thing that always trips me out. When we talk in physics, where it talks about the opposites attract, you know, the magnets. Why do the opposites attract? Because on one side, one is missing something that the other has, right? And that actually draws and has a magnetic pull to bring them together. Well, question, what is that book? Oh my goodness. It was Men Are From Mars and Women Are From Venus. Mm-hmm. That was one of the books back in the day. And we would think, wait a minute. Why are we from two different planets, right? Why does it have to seem like we're so far apart? But that is actually what brings us together. As oxymoronic as that may sound, that is what brings us together. If it was someone that looked exactly like you, but in the different gender, would that be who you want? That's a good question.
How well, about that? I'm pretty cute, so I might.
I'm saying. I don't think I can date a me. I don't think that's possible, because when I'm high, I need someone not to be as high. You know, strung. I need someone to be neutral, right? Because if we both high strung, we're gonna have some issues. You won't be able to go too long, right? You think about it, if you're both hot-headed, you won't be able to really have a good conversation and come to an agreement, right? If you got two alphas, you're really gonna have some problems. Can that really happen? Well, let's talk about it, Dr. T.
So on that point, about the whole opposites attract and having two people that are exactly alike, the thing that helped me embody that understand that concept more is when I learned about the yin-yang symbol. You know, the yin-yang symbol is the circle with the two halves. It's kind of twirled inside of each other, you know, twirled on each other. And then there's a spot of one color in the other and a spot of the other color in the first one. When I learned about yin-yang theory and what that symbol meant, it really made sense. The yin-yang symbol basically is a representation of all existence. Everything exists within that circle. You have your extremes on one side, you have your extremes on the other side, and they work in perfect balance, which is why they're next to each other. So you have your black on one side, your white on the other side, or whatever colors the artist might use. But we look at black and white as complete opposites. They cannot exist without each other. You cannot have complete black without complete white. And those two opposites, again, exist to strike balance in the whole of existence, which is that circle, which represents all of existence. But within the black, when you have the absolute most black that you can have in that part of the circle, you have some white. Because it cannot be complete black. There is no totality of black. You have white in that black. And when you get into the point that you have the most white, you have a spot of black. So let's look at male and female. There is nothing that's completely male. There is nothing that's completely female. When you have the most concentration of male energy, time, personified or whatever, you still have that spot of female. And within the most concentration of female, you still have that spot of male being. And again, to me, that represents balance. You cannot say I'm all man. Nah, bruh, you ain't. You have some feminine energy. You have some estrogen floating. You have some yin energy, whatever you want to call it. It's there. And so when we're looking at balance, we have to remember that, you know, in the midst of the most masculine or the most feminine or the most dark or the most light, there is still that spot of something else to help bring us balance.
Mm. Now, this is an interesting concept because many people would want to go against this concept to say, no, you're either one or the other or this, that, and the other. But bottom line, you know, as you continue to study and you start learning about science and all of these different things, you start recognizing that there are a whole lot of things that we don't fully understand or fully know from a certain perspective. So now my question is this. I want to take the people back for a minute, Dr. T. It's like, seriously, when you first meet someone, you really do want to be around them as much as possible. Mm-hmm. When you meet someone, you want to start learning about them. You want to start getting into the past and knowing who they are so that you know who you're dealing with, right? Mm-hmm. And then you try to ask yourself about, oh, what do you see your future looking like and so on and so forth. And really, if you're honest, you want to see, do you fit within their future? And in doing so, you're having these communicating talks and different things like that, and you're going places and, you know, shutting the place down because you're truly, truly enjoying one another's company. One of the first things that I want to say about a way that you can bond with your mate is to try something new. Have you ever found someone who says, I just ain't gonna do X, Y, or Z, or I will never do blah, 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 right? And those type of people, they kind of cut themselves off. I always tell people, try something new at least one time, you know, as long as it's not immoral or whatever the case may be, illegal, whatever. But try it. You know, I've had a conversation the other day with some good friends of mine, and, you know, you've got people from the South, the North, you know, all over the world. And, you know, we were talking about fried okra, right? And initially, people like, okra, no, I don't know about all that. I don't do that, right? But then they get that opportunity to go down south and go to a soul food restaurant where they actually had fried okra. And they were like, well, let me try it. And they tried it. And they loved it, right? But now, here's also what's interesting to me, because sometimes you can try something new and have a bad experience. But does that mean you shouldn't try it again? That's a good question. Let me ask you that question, Dr. T. How do you feel about trying something for the first time, not liking it? Would you give it a second chance?
Honestly, it really depends on what it is and how traumatic the experience was. You know, when I am teaching people about food and health and how to use food to increase their health, I often tell them, try something new every week or once a month and pick out three recipes, right? Three recipes. Try the first one, because if you don't like the first one, that doesn't mean, like you said, you won't like it prepared in a different way. So maybe you didn't like that leafy green vegetable sauteed with just, you know, oil and salt. Maybe you want it in a casserole. Maybe you want it, you know, in some eggs. Maybe you want to eat it raw. I don't know, but try it in a different way. So, you know, in many regards, yes, I'm willing to try it again. And I say depending on how traumatic it is, but kind of in jest. But for the most part, I think I'd be willing to try it again, especially if I'm trying it with someone that I trust. So that would be the thing. Like if it's someone who who does a thing, they do it often, and I trust them. If I had a bad experience, then if I really trust them, then I may likely be willing to try it again.
I like that. I like that. When I think about it, you know, I love the word that you said, when you're doing things with people who you trust, right? So when you're in that relationship and you guys are trying something new together, depending upon the trust factor, that will determine whether or not you'll be willing to try it again. Well, here it is. Test it out, folks. test it out. If you don't like it, okay, throw it away. Don't do it again. That's totally up to you. But what if it was, you know, you were kind of on the fence? Here's what I really love about trying new stuff. Number one, it brings excitement. It brings excitement to your life. It brings a rush. It brings a thrill. And then it actually is a good relationship builder, if you would. It's a good relationship builder from the perspective of, listen, we did this together, or we tried. Do you remember that time when we went XYZ and skiing, or whatever the case may be? Or, you know, it may have been, you know, we were talking earlier about that drum square. Like, for somebody else, that might not be an experience that they've ever had before. But to say, you know what, I'd like to try that with you. And now you have that new experience, going to some type of gathering, you know, outside. Or you have some people who are naturally into nature. And then you have other people who are like, no, that's not my thing. You know, I'll never forget one of my first experiences actually going camping. This was before the military, right? Because what they call camping is not camping. But I'm talking about literally going out into the woods. But when you ask a person who's not, you know, from that type of environment, you want me to go sleep outside? Sleep outside? What am I going to sleep outside for? I got a perfectly good bed in here. No, we just want to bond. We want to be one with nature, right? And if nothing else, it's just an experience, right? And if you can give that person the security of that you're doing it together, and whatever you face, you'll face it together, right? Maybe people will do it. What about hiking? Man, why am I climbing this mountain? What is the purpose of climbing this mountain? Man, do you see rocks are falling off of this mountain? What do you mean you want to climb it, right? The excitement, the thrill, the energy. Okay, so let's talk about, and I know we did a show recently about, you know, therapy or counseling before marriage. But, you know, when you're dealing as a couple, okay, you're together, you're seeking, you know, future together or whatever the case may be, how about actually just getting out and doing some bonding through therapy, right? Now, I know immediately, what are you thinking? You're thinking someone in a white coat talking to you on a couch or whatever the case. No, therapy can be so many different things. Therapy can be meditation. It can be, you know, spa days. It can be a thousand different things. What are your thoughts? When you first heard me, Dr. T, say therapy, where did your mind go?
Seeking wise counsel. So two people in a relationship, seeking counsel from another person who is more knowledgeable in that particular area. So yeah, I did immediately think about going to someone, a third person, mm-hmm. for therapy.
Understood. You know, a lot of times people only seek therapy when they start having distance between one another, and they're trying to figure out how to get back to that harmonious spot. But to be honest with you, therapy can be, you know, something that, I mean, things can be thriving in your relationship and you still want to think about therapy. You know, there are some things that people just don't want to deal with. There are some deep, dark secrets, some things that they have closed themselves off internally to that they don't necessarily want to share. But those things can actually come back biting you in the future. So sometimes you just got to learn how to have that inner therapy. There are people who have, you know, everybody in the world has some type of issue. I don't care who you are or what you have, right? But if you got an anger issue, you know, if you're over emotional, you know, it could be so many different things. But once you start recognizing these things, you should go through some type of therapy. Another good way, Dr. T, that I see people bond is traveling somewhere with your partner, right? Go see something different. I cannot tell you, the world is such a beautiful place and there are so many differences in this world. You cannot stay in one location and think that you have lived. Now, Dr. T, I know that you've lived in a number of places. Talk to us about how travel has literally, like, just helped you blossom.
You know, I draw on my experiences all the time, actually, whether I pay attention to it or not. Just yesterday, I was driving down the street. You all know that I'm back at home. I'm back in New Orleans. And New Orleans is known for being below sea level and, you know, all of the things. And because we're below sea level and because the ground is so moist, is why my idea of it, we have a lot of potholes. Not to say that nobody else has potholes, but we have a lot of potholes. And I attribute it to being below sea level and just having that moisture level, you know, deep, you know, not so deep in the ground. Well, then I go to Haiti. Mm-hmm. And, you know, I go to Cameroon and I realize these little potholes that we complain about, they're significant because, you know, in a country where everybody's paying taxes and we have, you know, this infrastructure, when you have the city and the state that will, you know, take care of the roads and all of these things, but it's really not as bad as we make it out to be. You know, if we're looking at it from other places, and, you know, that's one example, you know, just talking about the roads, but it also helps to, you know, be able to understand people. Like when I'm here at home, you walk down the street and everybody greets you. Hey, baby, how you doing, darling? All right, now, you know, what's happening, baby? People will greet you and will call you all kinds of terms of endearment. They don't have to know you. They don't even have to be around you more than 30 seconds, but that's what it is. When you go to other places, you don't necessarily get that level of greeting. If you get a greeting at all, you might get shunned. Mm-hmm. I was reading a post the other day that said that when Americans travel abroad, people generally know Americans by several different things. And the one thing that struck me was we smile a lot.
Mm-hmm.
I was like, so I got to stop smiling when I go, you know, to other places, because they don't automatically know I'm American. Oh, okay. But had I not read that, or had I not had friends who traveled, or had I not traveled and lived other places and been other places, I wouldn't have known those things. I would not have paid attention to those things. So it definitely enhances your life experience. It definitely enhances yourself and allows you to see yourself and your roots and your home from a different perspective.
Mm. You know, it is so, so interesting, Dr. T. I was having this conversation with a group of people the other day when we talk about travel, right? Traveling around the world opens up your eyes, it broadens your perspective, and it helps you to get to know people, mm-hmm. people, groups. Right. So imagine, like you said, man, I go to Haiti or I go to Cameroon or, you know, I go to all these different places. And I'm like, man, the thing I was complaining about in America is, whoa, that ain't nothing. Right. But imagine now, like you said, you're in New Orleans and, you know, people love and greet and so on and so forth, where there are other places where they don't do that. I remember my first experience in Korea. You know, in Korea, it's like your cattle. And the reason that I say that, when you're walking down the streets of Yongsan or Seoul or Pyeongtaek or any one of those places, it's like cattle because people are bumping against you to get where they're going, but this is their norm. But you do that in the States. Hold on. Wait a minute. Why are you bumping into me? You know, what's going on with that? But we have so much more flexibility, so much more space. There, it's not such a congested area. So here you travel to Korea, but that is part of the culture, right? Or you travel to Germany and, you know, you're trying to get you a meal at a specific time and then everything shut down. You're like, hey, what's going on? I want to eat. Well, guess what? It's family time. So you ain't going to get nothing to eat because they're going to close down for a little moment. They're going to have their family time and then they're going to reopen. They don't care about your money, right? But then you travel to other places. You go to Japan or you go to Israel or you go to these different places. And I'm telling you, everywhere is different. Everything you cannot go into the world, expecting it to be exactly like home. And if I had a moment to just share that with people, like you mentioned, yo, they can tell you're American because number one, you're greeting, you're smiling, you're this, you're that. Well, what does that look like on the flip side, mm-hmm. right? How do we look at people? What biases do we have? Well, why didn't they say hello? Or why? Well, wait a minute. Have you ever considered their side? Have you ever considered where they're from and how those things are done? So opening up our mind and broadening our perspective is so important, which really leads me into this one. You know, when you're wanting to strengthen your bond and your relationship, be willing, one, watch this, to learn something new. And then two, be able to teach something new. See, because right now, when you bring two people together, you're coming from two different cultures sometimes. You're coming from two different backgrounds or locations in the world or whatever the case may be. But you've got to be willing to learn and you've got to be willing to teach or educate. So that's something that also helps you bond. You know, as we talked about the food piece, well, what happens if you marry someone that isn't from your hometown and doesn't cook like mama or dad or auntie or whoever used to cook? But it doesn't mean that their food isn't good. It just means you're not used to the type of food that they have. I literally was just having this conversation yesterday where you have two people who were from the same state. But when it came to talking about what Thanksgiving meals would be like, one had one thought and the other had another. Why? Because of culture. So it is important when you're looking at your bonding with your mate is that you be willing to learn and to teach at the same time. What are your thoughts, Dr. T?
I agree. I like that. I like that. Because if you expect somebody to be everything you want them to be, then you're automatically going to be disappointed because they're not. They have their own life experiences, their own thoughts. So you have to be one willing to be open to what they have to say, what they think, what they are, what they do, and be able to be willing to teach them from your perspective. So yeah, those two go hand in hand. Absolutely.
Now, I think we can culminate this with this one thing right here. Learn to play games.
Oh, you just took one of mine. You just took one of mine, Dr. V.
Watch it now. Learn to play games. Enjoy life, folks. Life is meant to be lived. You shouldn't be so stuck up that you can't do fun stuff, right? Enjoy your life. Do something different. All these things that we've been talking about, these are all bonding pieces. Mm-hmm. You know, depending upon what culture you might be in, a deck of cards, you have 500 different games in it, right? And you know, I'm going to say this, you know, there's this thing that we make with porcelain that got some black dots in it. And depending upon where in the world, it might have some colored dots in it. But that thing right there is a relationship bond, right? So all I'm saying is, folks, enjoy life, whatever that may mean to you. Learn how to play some games, enjoy yourself, and learn how to laugh. Laughter is such medicine to the soul. So if you could find yourself playing some games, what would be some of the games that you would play, Dr. T?
Come on now. I would, look, so people don't know. I grew up in a silly family, right? So it could be almost anything. My mom is silly, even though you wouldn't know it by looking at her because she's so cool. She's so calm. My daddy's silly. You wouldn't know it by looking at him necessarily because he's so intense just about life. But they silly. And they crack jokes. I'm a silly person. So, okay, this weekend, Easter weekend, my mom had some friends over. Easter Sunday, I wake up and I go bunny hop into the room with everybody. And they look at me and they're like, what is she doing, first of all? And then they started laughing. And then I know they wanted the bunny hop with me because I could see it in their eyes. My mama started bunny hopping with me. I didn't expect that. So we butt happen together. Like, it's little things. It doesn't have to be something big. But you talking about a deck of cards, I'm going to need you to be able to talk trash.
Listen.
On a card table.
You better know.
Don't get offended.
You can't play a game and don't talk trash. Come on now. Right?
Is that really a game? That's like walking in, you know, a tree falling in the forest, and if nobody's there to hear it, is it really falling? But, you know, if you playing a card game and nobody's talking trash, is it really a card game?
Not a card game. Not a card game.
Be able to talk trash, that we ain't gonna work. What else? What did I do with friends of mine recently? Okay, so this weekend as well, I was taking my uncle somewhere, and you know, we ended up being late, a couple minutes too late, but we missed, you know, the plans, and so we had to do something different. To me, it was fun to, I asked him if he wanted something to eat. He said he wanted some coffee. So I took him to a little coffee shop. I knew he had never been there. And that simple thing was fun because I was able to point stuff out. We were able to talk. We were able to have a couple of jokes. That was fun, right? And then I hear later he was talking about how delicious it was and how much he enjoyed it. It was a little thing to me, but it was fun. It was really good to be able to, you know, meet new people. I was at a bookstore, one of the community bookstores in town. And there's always people in and out and having conversation just about community events and about life and all these things. And one person said, hey, I want to go to this festival. And somebody was like, hey, I want to go. Like, let's go. And they looked at me, you want to go? Okay. I didn't know these people. I just met them 5-10 minutes ago, but now they're like my new best friends, right? So we all hop in the car and we go to this one place. They weren't there. We go have a meal. We enjoyed the meal. We talked about how great it was. We went and it was fun. It was fun. So it doesn't take a lot. Something simple and just do it and enjoy yourself. So you know what? That is one of the biggest things that I would say to cause people to bond in any relationship. Y'all know I'm a single woman right now, but I just built relationships with several different people in the span of 3 days, right? By just those things that I said, the community friends that I met at the bookstore, my uncle and my mom and her friends. That was several different people in the span of 3 days by just enjoying life, doing simple things, keeping some levity in it, and smiling, as you said. So that's a huge one for me. Mm. I got another one for you, Dr. V.
Come on with it. What you got?
Look at everything with new eyes, with childlike eyes. Going back to my uncle this weekend, as we were out and about doing what we were doing, I was walking and I saw the southern magnolia tree. Southern magnolia trees are beautiful, and they're plentiful here in New Orleans. And right about now, they actually have their blooms. The flowers are blooming on the tree. And so what I wanted to do was actually take pictures of the flowers. And my uncle said, you know what? I never paid attention to the flowers. Well, you should. He was like, that is really pretty. Mm-hmm. And we've talked about the bees that were in the flowers, because every time I wanted to go up to a flower, it was a bee coming out. I was like, well, they're going on. Let me find the other one. I never noticed that. Mm-hmm. And then we see like the little ants crawling on the leaves and all of these things. Like, it's something that's there. It's ubiquitous to the city. Everybody knows what it is. But are you paying attention to stop and actually notice things? So in your partner, stop and actually notice things. The way they walk. Huh. She's walking with a bit of a limp today. Huh. He has a little bit of a spring in his step today. I never paid attention to that cologne. I really do like that cologne. Wow. Wow. That hat really looks good on him. That he coordinates really well. I really love the way he dances. Huh. She doesn't have as much energy today as she normally does. Pay attention to your person, whomever it is, with new eyes. You know, with your surroundings, with new eyes. The thing that you see all the time, the thing that you take advantage of because it's always there, you want to look at it with the eye of newness, because there's something that you had either not paid, seen in a long time, or you've never noticed before. And that can help to bring a bond in a relationship, because now it's new. It's not new, but it's new again.
Yeah, I love it. I love it, Dr. T. And, you know, seeing the world through a new lens altogether, because there's so many things that we take for granted and we don't take advantage of. You know, you're never really, really appreciative of the sun until you go to a place that doesn't have it. You know, I'll never forget being military where they would tell you, man, you don't want to get stationed in Washington because it rained all the time. And I'm like, well, wait a minute. I'm confused. And I'm like, no, not the one that you're thinking about. I'm talking about being stationed over here because that's where it rains all the time. You never really get to see the sun. You go to Alaska and they tell you 6 months out of the year there is no sun. You're like, what? Are you kidding me? Nobody don't want that. I don't live in darkness, right? But you start looking at stuff like that. And you say to yourself, you know, seeing things through a new lens with new eyes, you know, being able to see the beauty of life, mm-hmm. you know, and for those out there who may suffer with some type of asthma or breathing issue, you know, you cherish being able to breathe, right? Where other people just take it for granted, like, I can't believe I can smell this. Why are they smoking? Why are they? Well, there are other people who, man, I wish I could smell that. I wish that I was able to inhale and exhale like you. I wish that you could see how much my lungs are restricted right now. And it's crazy because I'll use the terminology of asthma as an example, is because the person may look perfectly fine, mm-hmm. but they can't breathe. It's one of the worst feelings in the world. How do I know? Because I have it, right? Or when you're dealing with someone who no longer has the activity of certain limbs, we take so much for granted, folks. So whatever you do, see the world through new lenses, new perspective, new eyes. Enjoy life. Live it to the fullest. Why? Because it's possible, folks. So whatever you do, learn how to bond. And this is not just romantic relationships, folks. This is with your family, with your friends, with your coworker. Learn how to bond. Because this is the one thing that I do know. Dead men don't get to enjoy the splendors of life. And we all are appointed to die at some point in time. So while you have the opportunity to inhale and exhale, you might as well bond with those around you. Mm-hmm. Bonding with others helps you to live a plentiful life. A life worth living is a life that has bonded and had special types of bonds. So I hope that you all are picking up what we put down today. I hope that you have gathered some things and that you've said to yourself, you know what? Yeah, I am going to have a little bit more fun. I am going to be a little bit more playful. I am going to do new things, try new things, see things from a new lens. I am going to travel. I am going to be the best version of me possible, folks. That's what I desire for you. But Dr. T, talk to us real quick before we
go. Let me give you a couple more. Let me give you a couple more that I was thinking about that'll help people bond. One, exercise together.
Absolutely.
Because I've known and seen couples where one will decide they want to have a healthier life and they start exercising and they get cute and they, you know, and the whole relationship falls apart. Mm-hmm. Like I've seen it happen. And not just for that reason, but because it's a journey that it really is a journey to get healthier together. Hmm. For people to start to learn about health, learn about their bodies, start to have conditions reverse. Do that together. Be each other's support system. Be each other's street team on that. And that will help you bond because now you have this renewed energy, vigor, and life that you can share together, right? So that's a huge one, exercise together. And another one is to think, but did you do it? Did you do it? So I have a friend that the last couple of days, I was thinking, I haven't heard from him. How dare he not call me in a week? What's wrong with him? You know, in my head, I'm having this whole conversation. I'm going clean off. I'm like, we not going to be friends no more. I'm going off, whole scenario. But then I thought, but then I call him.
Stepping on your own toes. Watch out now.
I did not call him. I need to be the person that I'm complaining about because I hadn't done it. As soon as I called, he was like, hey, stranger. Hey, guess you forgot about me. I was like, you know what? This is why I called you. He's like, yeah, because the phone dials both ways. I'm like, you are absolutely right. I couldn't even say nothing.
No.
It was absolutely right.
Mm-hmm.
But did you do it? So the thing that you are complaining about, check yourself before you wreck yourself. Are you actually doing those things that you desire the other person to do? Now, if you are, then that's a whole nother conversation. But make sure that you reassess yourself to make sure that you are doing the things that you want and crave in that relationship.
Absolutely. Well, that's what I'm talking about right there, folks. I think this is where we wrap it up. Listen, be the change that you want to see. That's all I'm saying. Think about it. If you're thinking about it for someone else, ask yourself, put your face in the mirror. I know I changed the words. It's all right. But what I'm saying to you is look in the mirror, folks. And you may be saying, oh, such and such didn't call me or this didn't happen or blah, blah, blah. But then have you put the mirror in front of your face and say, well, wait a minute. When was the last time I called? All right, folks. Listen, it's been great. We want you to have the best week ever. And we challenge you to keep your relationships hot and
spicy.
And until next week, folks, we're Relationships 3D. Catch us on the group or on the page and enjoy your week. Be blessed, and we'll talk to you soon.
Peace
out. Brooklyn, Queens, the Bronx, Staten, and Manhattan. You are listening to BashaniRadio.com. New York City, always talking about everything.